You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm Shane Stetsony along with Brent Smith, just like every other time. Brent, we're just about at the halfway point of the 2023 season, and next up, one of our favorite places, ERX. What are you really excited about at ERX Motor Park this weekend?
Man, I'm just excited to get out of town and get to go to Minnesota. ERX Motor Park is just unbelievable. If you haven't been there, I mean, my twin brother himself hasn't yet stepped foot on the grounds, and we've talked about it a lot, but if you haven't been there, just the elevation changes, I mean, the rhythm sections, the sand sections, you're getting just about everything that you see in off-roads in one track, and I just love it. The people there are great, and everything about it's over the top.
Yeah, you're totally correct on all counts there, Brent. I think the track layout and the great dirt that they have there, it just makes the racing so competitive, so evenly matched. You rarely see a runaway win at ERX Motor Park. And it's created a lot of drama, a lot of really close finishes, a lot of excitement, a lot of fiberglass fireworks. I just love it. Like I've said before, I'm on the record already saying this. I think the best racing that Champ Off-Road has to offer is at ERX.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, we're going to get some new drivers, not new to the sport, but new to this season. We're going to have RJ Anderson there, Ronnie Anderson. I mean, Andrew Carlson's going to come back once again in the Pro 4, hometown favorite. I mean, he had a good year there last year, and I'm telling you, everything about the track, like I said, is over the top. You're going to see, like you said, your fiberglass fireworks, and as an announcer's perspective, to get to see it at that point of view, the spotter's tower is just like no other. I mean, they did a phenomenal job over the years, and I remember my first time going there, and now when I get there again, it's just, I'm sure they did multiple other things.
Well, you touched on this a little bit, obviously RJ Anderson coming out to play in Pro 4, but looking at the Pro 4 class, obviously you've got Carlson there as well, but the story ever since Crandon, obviously, Jimmy Henderson, CJ Greaves, I feel like there's unfinished business there. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I'd have to say I agree with you, because, I mean, we've seen it front and center, and they were taking the gloves off like a lot of guys have liked to say this year, and we thought the Pro Light feel was crazy, but I'm telling you, Henderson, he smelt that blood in the water. He caught CJ off guard a couple times, as did CJ to him, and the gloves are definitely off, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I really think that Henderson wants to prove that it wasn't just a one-weekend deal.
Yeah, Jimmy Henderson's been fast at ERX Motor Park the last couple of years already. And like I said, that's a place where nobody just runs away and hides. So I think we both agree on this. There's unfinished business there. We're not saying that they're going to go take each other out, but clearly CJ Greaves now is on notice that, you know, with Kyle LeDuc sidelined for the year, it's not just going to be all CJ all the time. There's other guys there that can win.
Yeah, and we talked about RJ Anderson coming back, and he's not no slouch. He every time he shows up, they run a limited schedule. He's very, very busy. And at the same time, for him to come out to a couple different weekends, if not three this year, is going to be awesome, because the kid can drive. His brother Ronnie, if you look at both of them walking through the pits and hanging out throughout your day, they're always smiling. They go out of their way to make fun. And they are true racers in the sport that show that, hey, you know, you can be serious when you're on the track, but involve everyone, and they really do that well.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Pro 2. So exciting for us personally, our friend Kyle Cooper from Super Stock Truck, last year's Super Stock champion, finally making his debut in Pro 2. He tested the truck about a week ago now at Dirt City Motorplex, said it was basically the wildest thing he's ever driven, and he had a blast. They had a couple things to change on the truck, but he's ready to join the party in Pro 2. What do you think is a realistic goal for Kyle Cooper?
Oh, I believe just to finish well. I mean, to make sure the truck is dialed in is one thing, but to stay out of carnage is the other, because, I mean, obviously you want to keep the panels on and learn as much as you can your first time out. But I feel he'll adapt fairly well, because in a super stock truck, I don't care what anybody says, You have to drive those trucks well, and you have to drive them on the edge, but yet not roll them over. I mean, granted, they don't have a horsepower like the Pro 2s, but you have to be smart, and I think that'll follow him over in the Pro 2 because they're going to land a lot better. They're going to drive a lot more efficient, and I think you'll see Kyle do very well.
Yeah, I think, you know, and even talking back and forth with Kyle a couple times, you know, I think a really good weekend for him would be, you know, finish with the truck in one piece, both races, and just mix it up with some of these guys. Obviously, that Pro 2 field, incredibly deep, and then you add Ronnie Anderson to the mix. So much depth of talent there. Just for him to kind of be in the pack, you learn a lot just trial by fire, running against the guys, even running for 5th, 6th, 7th.
Yeah, the class is healthy. I mean, there's a lot of great talent, and to mix it up, he's got to be grinning ear to ear, because I know I would be, and he's got to take it when it's there, and he's getting this opportunity, and I don't throw him under the table at all. The kid's got a great team behind him. His father's just a very, very smart engine builder slash crew chief, whatever you want to call him. He's really 120%. Yeah, I mean, he's a great guy to talk to. He invited us over to ERX last year, I believe it was, and that's when they blew the motor in the Superstock. And I mean, they were just positive. Oh, we'll get it back together. And that's what it takes, is a great team and a great family. And I think they have all their T's crossed and their I's dotted, you know. And it's amazing to see a guy jump up from that division. So hopefully he can prove a point.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting to watch him. And like we said, we're behind him 100%. We're Kyle Cooper fans, no doubt about it. But let's talk a little bit about his class from years past, Super Stock Truck. So earlier this year, we talked about Impulse Media and their Rush series. They did a series on Pro 4 a couple years ago. They did a series on Pro 2 from last season. The hype of Super Stock Truck finally bit them. So they're going to do a shorter Rush series just on Super Stock Truck. They started filming it at Crandon just a couple weeks ago. And they're going to be focusing on Super Stock Truck here at ERX. And they've also put some extra money on the line for those Super Stock Truck drivers. You and I have participated in some interviews for that series already. That's really exciting to shine even more of a light on Super Stock Truck.
Yeah, I really enjoyed helping out and showing what Super Stock is all about. I mean, coming from the Super Stock Truck days, Stock Truck, I mean, you got to give them a lot of respect. We love those classes, especially one of our favorite classes. We say it countless times throughout the weekend in Super Stock, and they're doing a behind the series because there is so much talent and the excitement's there. I mean, there's some days that truck class, if not all the weekends, is the best race of the year.
Yeah, it's must-see TV, if you will. You even mentioned this in the that came out in the trailer for the Super Stock Truck Rush series. Pro drivers, they'll drop what they're doing and run up to the grandstands to see Super Stock because it's that entertaining, that captivating.
Yeah, and I remember back when we were in it, I mean, we gave a lot of respect to the other drivers because, hey, they didn't care if they brought that thing back with just the tubes on it. They wanted to win, and there was a lot of clean drivers, but then you got a couple other guys that just like to play dirty, and sometimes that would take you out of the race. And I know the pro drivers respected it because you really had to get behind the wheel and get up on the wheel to do good. And hey, like I said, Johnny Greaves, CJ Greaves, and a host of other drivers, even Ricky G's crew and guys like that are, man, let's go watch Super Stock Truck. It's because, hey, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be really great to see how Impulse Media handles telling those stories. And we'll give those guys a big plug again. Find them on YouTube. You can watch both the Pro 4 Rush series and the Pro 2 Rush series. It is terrific, like legitimately good filmmaking. It's not just off-road enthusiasts. These guys are excellent filmmakers. They really know how to capture a story, how to tell a story, both visually and with all the interviews they do. It's a really good kind of behind-the-scenes look at life as a driver. I mean, you get to see the both the highs and the lows of a race weekend from the driver's eyes. And like I said, great cinematography. So find them on YouTube, Impulse Media, or search Impulse Media Rush, and it'll be the top search result. Those guys, they have a criminally low number of views on YouTube. Their number should be a lot bigger, so we cannot urge you enough to go watch those.
Yeah, I just love every one of those shows, and I just, we didn't get time that often. We talk about it like we want to go and tune in. I had a chance earlier on this afternoon to listen in with Johnny Greaves, and you know, man, he kudos to him. He's just trying to fight back, and I don't know if we'll see him at ERX Motor Park, and I honestly don't have an answer. Do you?
I was refreshing Facebook and Instagram today looking for the answers, and as we record, it's Wednesday night, so we're just a couple days away. I haven't seen anything yet. I think the whole off-road world is waiting to find out if we'll see Johnny Greaves back behind the wheel.
Yeah, he was talking about how he might have wanted Kyle to get back in the seat, and he was kind of saying, hey, you know, that's the new thing coming out, and I don't know. Johnny's tough. He wants the race, but, you know, there's a point in a time where you got to take care of yourself, and he took one heck of a lick.
Yeah, and certainly he'll be back. We know that much. We're
right,
just,
right.
I think, like we said, as off-road fans, we're all just kind of waiting, like, okay, when's it going to be? I mean, everybody wants to see him back. Pro 4 becomes even better when he returns. But let's switch gears a little bit. Some more news and notes. Pro Light, Tyler Remmerid. You know him from Pro-Am Side-by-Side. He has bought a Pro Light, and Brent, you're a little bit familiar with that truck.
Yeah, I was scanning the internet and social media yesterday, I believe, on Tuesday, and he was driving and pulling around. He was actually playing with the dirt and stuff with the front end loader or the skidster, and he put on his comment and said that he might be looking at a new truck or something. And I'm like, okay. So he comes out and pulls out of the shop, and it was the number 45. So that was the truck I ran at Fall Cranon. Great piece. Johnny Holder's old ride. CJ Grease previously won, I believe it was in Missouri with it. And good for the kid, man. He's a young race car driver. He's well put together, and he didn't look slow.
Yeah, he's been getting coached up by CJ Greaves in the side-by-sides for a couple of years now, and they've traveled the country together racing in other series. So certainly when he does make his debut in Pro Light, that's going to be one more fast guy in the mix in that class. And we've seen how exciting that class is already. And let's talk about the big rivalry in that class. Your top two in points right now, Kyle Greaves, Trey Gibbs. That was the top two when the dust settled a year ago. That rivalry is getting hot, and it hasn't been super dramatic, but those two guys are so fast, and throughout the year, it's like they're heavyweight fighters kind of trading body blows, where Gibbs will win a race, and then Greaves will come back the next day and blow Gibbs' doors off, and it just goes back and forth throughout the season. How do you compare that rivalry to some of the biggest in Champ Off-Road?
Man, I would compare it to Johnny Greaves, Kyle LeDuc showdown at Cranon, because both trucks are good. They're both great race car drivers, and it's whoever makes the least amount of mistakes. Sometimes Kyle Greaves gets out front and he runs away with it, but I believe Gibbs is right there. He has a fast truck. If he can smell that clean air and get out front and do his thing, he's going to be tough to beat. So, like, I believe it's shaping up to be great battles like we've had in the past in the Pro Light division, just like we had when Keegan Kincaid was running against Andrew Cadell, and back in those days, like, we had a lot of talent, and I think that's where we're at now. We're starting to get a lot of drivers that are starting to step it up.
Yeah, I agree. I think the class is coming back around to a place where the depth of talent is a little bit, it's on the rise, just like we've seen in Pro 2 over the last 4 or 5 years, where the class is so deep and there's other drivers that can win. We saw Brody Eggleston win already, and we've seen other drivers, Matt Wood threatening for wins. There's a lot of drivers who, if they haven't won a race yet in Champ Off-Road and Pro Light, they're super, super close. And again, ERX, a great equalizer. So maybe it's time for Matt Wood. Maybe it's time for Maddox Bailey. It's hard to say. Those guys have been fast all year as well.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell you who I think is going to win this weekend in Pro Light. Like you said it perfect. I mean, there's a lot of talent and there's a lot of good trucks. Johnny Holder's kind of been in a little bit of a slump with the Pro Light, but went to the Midwest Outdoors race previously before Cranon and did very well. So, you know, it's just a matter of time for that team to bounce back in Pro Light. Once he got in that Pro 2, Shane, it's a comfy ride from what I hear. So I know it's a rough ride, the Pro Light, so maybe he's just ready to step it up a game, and I think he'll be a backup on the wheel in Pro Light this weekend, so that's another hitter.
Well, a few more drivers to watch this weekend. We try to single out during the race weekend for sure who the hometown heroes are, and the community that has grown around ERX has been really encouraging. Like, just like we see in Lena, where there's a ton of drivers right from that small area, even though it's a small town. Elk River, obviously, it's close to the Twin Cities, but still a smallish town. but just in a few miles radius, you've got a handful of really talented drivers. You got Avery Hemmer in Modkart. She's still looking for her first Modkart win, but she's been close a couple times. Robert Loire in Pro Turbo side-by-side. He got his first National Series win at ERX a few years back. You got the Trelstad brothers in 1600 buggy. Cody Krantz, obviously, always wicked fast in the 170s. He is just from a couple miles away from ERX. And then you've got, of course, the hometown kid, Andrew Carlson, Pro Stock side-by-side, Pro Turbo side-by-side, and in Pro 4. That's a pretty strong group of drivers. How well do you think they hold home court advantage this weekend?
Well, you hope they do well in front of their family and friends, and there's a lot of guys and gals out there that want to take that opportunity of them taking the top spot away. So I believe that being the hometown, they're going to have more focus. Their cars are going to be that much better because they put extra hours in a little bit more than before because, hey, they want to do good, and I think the hometown heroes will step it up this weekend.
Well, just like we saw in round three of Pro 2, Keegan Kincaid won that race. Sometimes, like I said, it's just good to go home. It can fix a lot of things for you.
Well, we'll have to see if the hometown heroes really get the job done this coming weekend. But when wanting to get the job done, Champ Off-Road fans, remember to visit AMSOIL.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient AMSOIL product guides to find what you need and get fast shipping directly to your doorstep. AMSOIL, run with us. Next up on the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by AMSOIL is Andrew Carlson. Andrew, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, pretty good. How are you guys?
Good, good. Just getting ready for ERX Motor Park. And man, good to have you on. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to sit down with us. Shane and I always want to know what's going on at ERX Motor Park.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots going on. But yeah, it's good. It's we're ready for a big weekend. And yeah, not only are we bringing race cars, but we got to kind of put the whole event on. So it's always a busy week. My wife calls it Hell Week, and I tell people it's probably my favorite week of the year. So definitely some different viewpoints on it, but it's good. I love racing here, and you know, just the excitement of seeing everybody come here. And yeah, I don't know, we put a lot of work into the track, and it always seems to be well appreciated, and just the comments make it all worth it. And just watching cool racing and on something that we created it makes it worth it. So hoping for a good weekend.
So obviously you've been involved with the whole facility from day one, but you know, on a day-to-day basis year round, how involved actually are you?
Yeah. It's interesting. When we sold our family business in 2019, you know, one we had ran for my whole life. When that happened, we kind of hyper-focused on ERX, and it was, you know, it was a lot of my focus. We were doing a bunch of new events. And I was helping with marketing, and then, you know, if it was a racing event, I was helping with track and stuff like that. And that's when we brought in Nitro Circus and or the Rallycross and some of this other racing. And then since then, we've, you know, got another family business, Premier Pontoons, and that's kind of my day-to-day, every day, super busy there and then some. And then managing the race team is kind of my two big roles. And then on the ERX side, Heidi and Josh kind of run the facility side of things and personnel and stuff like that. And then I work pretty much solely just with Derek on the track. So giving feedback and just keeping it interesting and making tweaks. And we like to not just leave it the same, right, every year and kind of tweak it and stuff like that. So, you know, when we do all our testing with the vehicles, we're always, it makes it a little interesting to test the car, especially like suspension and stuff, because as I'm jumping or going through the whoops or doing something, I'm like, part of the time I'm thinking, well, how could I make this racier? And then the other half of me is like, well, quit focusing on that and like get your suspension dialed in. So it definitely makes it interesting. And I have had instances where it's like, okay, I could change the jump or I could tune my car for the jump. Like which one do I want to do?
That's like, you're the only off-road racer in the United States probably that has the option though. You can tune the track to your car or the other way around.
Yeah, but the other thing is, I don't know if you've ever talked to an off-road racer. They pretty much all, including myself, think they have all track designs figured out. Like, they know exactly how to do it. So, you know, there's no shortness of confidence. And, you know, there's, yeah, you don't have to convince us that we know how to make tracks. So, But yeah, it's definitely interesting. And I think I kind of think about it in like every vehicle. So it's helped that I've raced, you know, all the UTVs and the Pro Force, Pro Twos, Pro Lights. I haven't done any buggy stuff, but, you know, just watching it, like you can kind of tell. I have taken a lap around or two in a single buggy and stuff like that. So the worst thing we could do is have somebody go there and get hurt because we tried to make some weird feature or something that, you know, only Pro Force could hit, or, you know, the two classes I race do really well on it, and then every other class doesn't. Like, that doesn't do any good. So when other guys test, especially in other classes, you know, we take feedback, and Derek is really good. He's basically just on that track, and he's on it. He's we call him the dirt surgeon. He's pretty good in the dozer. So yeah, just little tweaks here and there, and yeah, I just, all the years of building racetracks, fun to get to do it, and you know, have other people come run on it too. It's pretty fun.
The things that's always stood out about ERX, even going back to like the original layout, it seems like it's always been a pretty unique track. I mean, it borrows some elements from other tracks, but also along the way, there's always been, like you said, features added or taken away or changed in all kinds of different ways. Is that something that's kind of like baked into the identity of the track? Is that something you always want to do, is change and innovate?
Yeah, I think that's just a piece. I mean, it, obviously the cost comes into it, and really no, like, because like we did that track change a couple of years ago, like people think, oh, what's the next one? And it's really hard, because it's like, once you're established in like this, like I understand why Crandon doesn't change a lot, because the racers and the fans aren't going to pay more just because you added a new section. And like, you, a lot of people would, their minds would be blown if they saw the numbers on how much it takes to do something. Like we redid turn one completely this year. We ripped it all the way down and built a new base, and, you know, made it a lot steeper, moved all the K-rail, put them all back up, like, reshaped the whole thing. Compared to the old turn, or the other update we did, like, it was pretty minor. But I mean, it's just, it's all hours, and it adds up, and we screen all the dirt that comes in, and we blend it all, and to do it right. And not saying others don't do it right, but if you build it right away, it maintains a lot easier, and it makes for better racing. And I don't know, it's just, we just kind of have the way we do it and all that. But like, from what you're saying, like, it, if it were up to me, I'd probably do more track changes and more often, and there'd probably be over and unders and all kinds of crazy stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business, and it has to make sense. And off-road is not the greatest place to go if you want to make a bunch of money. So we're basically just trying to break even on the thing and not dump a bunch of money down the drain and make a cool track. And I, you know, I think I'm biased, but I think we've done that. And I think it's a fun track. A lot of people are usually excited to come here. I'd say, to answer your question, finally, like Bark River was the first track we went to when I was a senior in high school. I got to go there for like my senior trip that I went to with my family. I'm like, oh, we're going to go to Bark River and watch this crazy truck racing. And the minute we watched it, we're like, man, it's cool. Like, the elevation and just how like the front half is pretty technical and the back half is like pretty high speed. And like, it's just, it's a really cool track. And then when we finally got into racing in 2015, we went to St. Louis. That was the first race we went to. And I don't know if you ever remember racing there. It was bad. It was like racing out behind a Walmart somewhere, like in a junk dirt field. Like, it was giant chunks of asphalt and the dirt was horrible. And just, it was a disaster. You know, we were racing, it was still fun, but that was like my first experience in off-road. And at that moment, we're like, I think we can do this. Like, we made a test track for the ProLite back then, and it was probably had better dirt on it than that St. Louis track did. So basically right there, we got to know Cliff from Crandon and had him come over and like kind of looked at this big open field we had. And we're like, what do you think? And he's like, yeah, you got a couple cool hills here and there. And we kind of laid it out, started mowing it and running it in razors. And it was pretty fun. And then we added banking to it and it got more fun. And then pretty soon we're like, oh, let's just take a stab at this, see if we can get a race. And here we are. So I think definitely like the hills from Bark River was a big thing. Like, when you see like Taco Bell Hill and all that, like when we saw that hill on our property, it's like, okay, no brainer. Like, that's a really cool part of that track. Like, not to take a page of their book, but it clearly works and the trucks like it. And you have that like kind of infinity landing, right? And that's very famous for Bark River. And, you know, we have it here. You can see it. But then beyond that, like, we obviously do a lot of snowmobile racing, and snowmobile tracks are a lot tighter and a little more technical, and it's hard to not let your brain go that far and get cutesy with it and make it you know, left and right and left and right in this like supercross style. So it was kind of a like, okay, we want to stick with a more standard shape. But in all my racing, like my favorite tracks are ones that usually have like a left and a right and a left, like that sequence, because it just sets up for really good passing, because you can come in, you don't have to slam somebody to pass them. You can like set up on their outside and then go into the next corner and be on their inside. Personally, that's why I like a lot of the corner layouts here, is because it makes you think ahead, and you can't just plan one corner at a time. And it kind of pays off the guys that, you know, have a strategy and, or know where their car is fast and kind of work into that. So I don't know. Like I said, I'm obviously biased because I'm heavily involved in it, but all these tracks are great. I think, the fact that they're all different is why it's cool. If they were all cookie cutter and we went to the same thing every weekend, it wouldn't be any fun. But at the same time, we didn't go with anything super crazy that had never been done, because it's not broke. Why try and fix it? Like, let's just do things that we know work instead of wasting a bunch of money trying some crazy over and under or something that's never worked well. So long story long, that's what I got.
Yeah, that track definitely flows, though. I just love it. And I remember when Kyle LeDuc was up in the booth with us and we were picking back and forth, and we couldn't find a spot that wasn't technical and fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's so flowy, just Ziegler Cat turn going up through there, how you say, doing your lefts and then a right and then a left. And you can see it as an announcer. You can call it before it's happening, because if you're a smart race car driver, you can be quick on that track.
Yeah, and it's obviously different in each, like in pro stock compared to pro four, it's a widely different track.
Right.
And I think like even line wise, like in the pro stock, like you have to run the bottom a lot of places. And then the pro four, like you can stretch it out and run that longer line, and there is some payoff. And there's a few spots where it's like the inside might be faster, but it's a lot riskier to run it. Like in Talladega, like it's hard to be consistent in that corner because it's so tight and there's bumps coming in and bumps going out. So it's kind of like, it tailors it to like, how much risk are you willing to take? Is it the last lap and you're in second? You might as well go for it. Like, those are the kind of moments that fans want to see. Like, if it's real safe and you're leading and someone's on your tail and you're not worried, like that basically means it's a tough track to pass on. I think of Bark River that way. Like, when you're leading at Bark River, it is so nerving to come through that infield section. Like when you're leading, cause it's like, what could go wrong? Like, you never know. But at the same time, when you have that feeling in your gut, that means the fans got it too, right? It's fun to watch. They don't know what's going to happen.
They're always on their feet, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun to sit and, you know, look at a corner with my dad or Derek and be like, oh, man, like, how can we encourage more lines and more racing? And that's a big reason we redid turn one. It's maybe one of the only spots on the track, like, running wide doesn't really pay off that much. So we're like, what do we need to do? Well, more bank would help, so... I'm excited for you guys to come see it. It's pretty fun. I'm excited to see how fast some of these guys adapt to it. And a few guys have come out and test and ran it. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Not to derail this too far, but, I got a text from Nolan like 2 hours ago as we're recording this. He said that there was someone testing on the track today for a couple laps, a certain black number 22 Pro 4. Is that a sign that he's going to be out there?
I don't know. Johnny had said that, or asked my dad if he could test, and I frankly I don't get it, because tomorrow the first time we're on track is a test, so I feel like he could go out there and kind of see if he wants to test or not, or wants to race or not. But I don't know if he wants Kyle to run it or whatever. But it is, in the past, like, he's kind of busted my balls at like Red Bull events if we're ever out on the track, and it's like, to me, I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I wouldn't expect him to ask that, but yeah, I mean, it's fine. I think it's good to see him try to get back out there and do it in a safe fashion, right? Obviously, if his back's hurting him or something, like, you'd hate to put him in a spot where he's got to, you know, make an unhealthy decision for him. Like, life's pretty short. You'd hate to make a snap judgment and, you know, something go wrong. So, yeah, I hope to have him out there. I think it's cool, too, to see Kyle kind of be in that spot, because I was put in a grief truck with zero Pro 4 experience, too, and I've been in that spot, and it's drinking from a fire hose for sure. And especially when you're in Johnny G's old truck, like, you know, the truck can go fast. Like, you kind of got to show it. So, cool to see, you know, more guys getting in. And yeah, it's cool. It's, Johnny's obviously a tough individual, and he's gonna, you know, pop his eyeball back in and go racing if he can. So, we've seen it before. So there's really not much he could do that wouldn't surprise me, or you know, that would surprise me. You know, I think he wants to be out there. So I'd say we'd see him out there.
So like we talk about in your background, when you were going to school, out of high school, going to college, were you a pro snowcross racer then, or were you before you graduated?
I raced pro. I didn't get into the pro, like the top class, the pro class until I think I was 18. The winter I was a senior. But I raced the pro light class, which is the top two classes. It's kind of like motocross. Like the pro light and pro are both considered pro. Back then it was pro, or the semi-pro was like the stock class, and then pro was the mod sleds. But yeah, so I basically, from my son Dallas's age of four, I raced my whole life all the way up until then. And then yeah, I started getting beat up and wanted to, the risk started to outweigh the reward at the end. And that's when UTV started getting real big, and I already had the players relationship. So, and then, you know, like I said, I went and watched that Burke River race with zero intention of thinking I would ever race them. It's like,
be
like
that's how it goes.
It'd be like going to a NASCAR race as like an 18-year-old kid. Like, you'd be a little naive to be like, yeah, I'm going to be Jeff Gordon someday if you've never driven a NASCAR, right? Like, it wasn't like, I was like, oh, I'm definitely doing this. Just thought it was cool. So it's crazy. It's definitely like, hard to see kids that come up to you in the autograph line and they're like, oh man, how do I get into this? Like, what do I, where did you start? And it's like, I don't know.
You got some time.
I can't even like tell you how I started, or like, cause I don't even know how it happened for me. So like, it's hard for me to like relay that out. If I had to do it again, I don't know if I could, but
it's your life.
No, cool. Right. Right.
Yeah. I was going to ask, like, at what point did you make the decision to, you know, devote so much of your life to racing? But it sounds like that decision was kind of made for you, or you kind of just were born into it almost.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of that change is like, now that I have kids and see, you know, someone with a similar genetics as me in the similar situation as me, like I always thought, yeah, I did it because my dad did it, or I did it with that. Like I could honestly probably not race, and I think my kids would want to. Like, they're, it's that in them. Like, it's crazy to think. But yeah, it's like, to me, I don't think there was ever a choice. I just think it was something I wanted to do. And like my little 1-year-old right now, like I could honestly say if I didn't race, like he would see a fast car go by and be like, like he just, it's just in him. And like my little girl likes it, but she's not like driven to it. Like if I hop on a pit bike and like drive away and I don't take my youngest son with, it's like a temper tantrum. Like he can't believe that I didn't bring him with. And it's just like, it's all he wants to do. And like, I got go-karts at home, and like you open the garage door, you can't get him out of the go-kart. Like he just wants to sit in it and drive it. And like, he doesn't even whine. He just like looks at you. So yeah, just like thinking about it when I was that age, I think that's how it was. I just think it wasn't even a choice. It was just, it's what I wanted to do. And it really never stopped. It's like one of those things that just in any form of life, whether I'm in high school or college or growing a family, it's just like, I've made it to where it's like, I'm going to do both. And this is, they're both passions, and not that I'm going to put one before the other, but it's like, I'm doing them both. Right.
I think you really nicely put into words there. So, you know, there's fans that have grown up watching racing at Bark River and Crandon and even Antigo who are like in our age group now that are basically feel that same connection to motorsports that you just described, where it was almost like they were born into being a racing fan. I think it's just fascinating to hear you talk about it in the same way, because I know fans that feel the same way, and all they'll ever be is fans. They're totally thrilled about it. They just love it the exact same way you do.
Yeah, it is hard. Like you said, it's hard to put words around it, and especially to people that don't have passions, or like, if I ever look at people and like think like, oh, if I like just put myself in their shoes, it's like, I really have never been at a point in my life where it's like, yeah, I need another hobby. It's just like racing has consumed me, and that's just all I want to do and think about, and to the point where I got a go-kart track in my front yard. It's just like, when I'm not racing, I want to go watch other racing or race other things, or I don't know. It's just, it's a bug that I don't think you can really shake.
So you've been running now, this is what, 9 years in the trucks? You've won at every level. I mean, you still have obviously that passion. Like, what win to you was the most passionate so far?
You know, your first win was at your hometown track in Pro Light. You won in your Pro 2 debut. You've won in Pro 4 at ERX.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're all really cool. And, like, I can think back to each one and, like, and have really cool. I it'd be really hard to pick one. I think the Pro 2 win at Barker was really cool just because I really didn't even think about expectations for myself. I'm just like, I love this truck so much. I've never really driven it, but I'm going to keep going as fast as I can. And it just happened. So that one was like, that one took like the longest to set in that, like, hey, we just showed up to the track that the first track I ever went to watch. And I just showed up in a truck I'd never raced before and just won. That one was pretty cool. And then I think it was that same year we got third in the cup race behind Menzies and LeDuc. And I don't think anyone even like thought of me being as like the third place guy or like the first Pro 2 to finish in that one. But like at that point, like I remember vividly watching both of those guys. Like when I came to Bark River, like I bought a Menzies shirt when I was 18. So then to like not that long later, like be up there and like be on the podium of the biggest short course race in the country where the biggest money and to be the top Pro 2, like that one. It wasn't a win, but it like it blew my mind, and it was like, man, and that one like caught the eye of Red Bull and like a butt and like started a lot of these relationships with sponsors that I have now, and we turned a lot of heads. So I think like impact wise, that was a pretty big one. And honest to God, like it doesn't matter which one it is. It can be, you know, my 20th turbo win or whatever, but like they're all like they all borderline choke me up on the podium because this is so cool. And you both know, like there was so much work that goes into it. Yeah, and it's like, the better my team is, it's like the cooler it is to win. Cause it's just like, I want to win for them now too. It's like, you know, we all slave over these cars and everyone loves it and wants to be up there. And when you don't get it, it's just, you feel gutted. And that's the hard part with racing is it's like, there's really in each class, there's one winner each weekend or each day. And it's like for every high one, there's a couple lows and it's the balance of it. But,
the guys in the pit are still working just as hard, whether you finish 10th or first.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, that's where you have to, you know, be a family with the guys and you gotta be close and be able to take it all in and the highs come with the lows. And it's fun. It's definitely something that it takes a really good team. And like that in my professional life, like outside of racing, that is the thing that racing has helped me the most with outside of racing is the relationships and people, having the right people around you. Like when I go into work every day, it's like I thrive when I'm around good people and people that complement my skill sets and all that. And it's the same on a race course. And it's more necessary on a race course because you can run a business and, you know, have whoever it is and whatever and, you know, make boats or make whatever it is and get parts out the door and do your deal. But like on the racetrack, like you're dumping money down the drain. If you got a bunch of dimwits running your show and you don't know what you're doing, you're just going to be sitting on the sideline with a broke truck every time. So
that's your ass in the seat too. You want to have those guys liking you every time. You want to treat them well. Otherwise, hey, you know, did that guy tighten the bolts?
Not only that, but I think to be a crew of a race team, that's, you know, for someone to pour that much heart and soul into working on a race team, you know, they believe in you.
Oh, yeah. They're not doing it to get rich. I got news for you, for sure. Because it's a tough deal, you know. It's definitely, you have to want to win. And I think that's like when I hire new guys at the shop, it's like, If they have a hard work ethic, they really don't need to understand race cars. I can teach them race cars, but if they don't want to win or they aren't willing to like grunt it out at, you know, I'm in the race shop right now and there's 10 guys outside this office wall that I'm in and they're all busting tail on race cars at 9 o'clock at night. Like you have to want to do that and want to go win. So that's like, that's the first box that's got to be checked. It's like, do you want to win and how bad? Like if you've never touched a wrench in your life, I'll take the dude that would race his mom and take her out for a penny. Like that's the kind of guy that you want that, you know, it's going to win, you know? So yeah. And I think in business or in your 9-to-5, when you find those guys too, especially being a racer, like those are the kind of guys that's like, okay, this guy, he and I, we can get some stuff done. This is going to be cool. So on top of that, like this year, that's been the big thing. It's like the team we have at Carlson this year is the best team we've ever had. And I would do anything for any of these guys and they would do the same. And we laugh, we have fun, win or lose, we're ready to come the next weekend. And that's when racing, when I look back at like the best seasons I've had, it's when I have the best people around me, and it makes me want to drive harder. It's just, it's fun. It's cool. And it definitely makes the lows not quite as low. And then when you do win and have a good weekend, it's awesome. It doesn't get much better.
So outside of, you know, snowcross, we touched on a little bit, and obviously off-road. By the way, drivers who have won in Pro Light, Pro 2, and in Pro 4, it's a really short list of drivers. I was trying to think of all the names on it, and I think I came up with maybe four, just for what that's worth. But you've also raced Chili Bowl. You've raced Terracross a few years ago. You raced some Nitro Rallycross. You competed in the X Games in snowcross and some stock car stuff. Is there anything else that you've got your eye on that you want to try out?
At this point, it's basically if I can catch my wife at the right moment and ask her and get her to say yes, I'll pretty much do it. If it's, you know, and obviously racing is super expensive. A lot of it comes down to that. And in two, like, I got a really expensive Pro 4 sitting down here that is my main focus, and these UTVs that were factory supported to go race. And at the end of the day, that's my first goal. And then in the off season, I'd love to go to Chili Bowl. The last 2 years in a row, I had kids born on Chili Bowl week, so kind of put a hamper on it. But as far as like outside of off-road, like I love dirt and I love jumping. So like off-road's pretty much pinnacle for me. Like that's where I want to be. I'm not trying to get out of here and go race NASCAR. You know, I really like endurance racing. I like doing some of that in snowcross, and I could see maybe some of that. But, you know, I think the asphalt stuff's super cool, but I think I get a little bored doing it. I'm probably most excited to get my son into it more. He's an absolute racing freak, Dallas, my oldest, and he's been spinning laps in go-karts, and it's literally scary to just see.
You're in trouble. Ability. You're in trouble with Dallas.
He has. Like, he's just instantly, like, can counter-steer and do all this crazy stuff. And it's a little scary, but I'm so excited. I think next year he can be in a 170. So we'll see. He's got one. He's been ripping it. And I'm trying to not, like, get his head too big and let him know that he's a little gifted. So I definitely don't take it easy on him when we race. But it's cool. And he's started racing at 3 in the snowmobile side, and he's probably a little sportier than I was at that age, which is scary to see. But it's cool. His mom definitely, gets a little nervous, but, he's got it in him. So I feel like it'd be a shame if I didn't let him race. So that's probably, I think instead of keep racing all these other series, I'm pretty much, most excited to just take him racing and see where he wants to go. He's got a couple different avenues he can go down, dirt bikes and sleds and, you know, carts or whatever he wants to, you know, we'll see which one he's most passionate about and whatever. But I want to let him be a kid too, right? I know my tendency, like I'll race as much as I can. I want to make sure he, you know, we sign him from flag football and stuff like that. Keep him a kid and make sure he's got life outside of racing too, because I think that's important.
So we talk about at your hometown track at ERX Motor Park. We'll get into more about the weekend. I mean, your success here has been pretty unreal. In 2022, there was one win in Pro Turbo, then you swept Pro Turbo, and one podium in Pro 4. I mean, a lot of great results. I mean, how great is it to be able to do that in front of your hometown?
It's awesome. And honestly, I didn't really even realize it until I think I was on the results website and just looking at how we did last year here. And then I started going back further, and every time I'm out here, I know I can win. And this is like the one track. It's like, even if we don't have the most horsepower in the class or like something, it's like, I'm pretty confident I can run up front still. Just knowing that I can dissect this track and put the car where I need it to be. And it's not really a huge horsepower track, so it's more driver favored. And I feel like we're pretty sporty here. And, so it, looking back, it's like every time we race here, it's a little tougher in Pro 4 because that's the pinnacle of the class, but definitely in the Turbo, it's like every time we're out there, I feel like we should win. We need to win. Like if we don't win, like we came up short. So like, I think we won 4 of the last 6 Turbo races on this track. And it actually surprised me because it's like, if we don't sweep the weekend, I'm almost like, ah, dang, we let one get out. So it's like, I was actually surprised to like see the stat that, you know, we had done that well in Turbo, but it's cool. It's definitely a whirlwind of a weekend for me, just trying to run it like a normal race team. But at the same time, there's a lot of distractions and a lot of other family and friends that come out and watch, and they all want to talk and see the trucks and do everything too. And so just trying to be a good host there, and then, you know, keep the train on the tracks. But I love racing here. It's my favorite track, obviously, to run at. And it, the one thing that people don't always realize is, like, I can go spin a million laps out here, but there's only one time a year that the track gets blue grooves and rough and the way it is. And it's actually like, I need to be careful so that the track doesn't sneak up on me, because it's like, I'll get out there in pro soccer and
that's awesome. Doing.
It's like, oh my God, like the bomb went off out here. Like, what is going on? I've never seen it like this before. So obviously now we've raced here plenty of years. So it's like, I kind of know what to expect and like what it's going to be like. But it, I think people, it's like, oh man, he knows the track so well. He could run it blindfolded or whatever. And it's like, I just think it's comical, because it's like, if you've ever tested at Crandon or any of these other tracks, it's like when you go test, it's like, man, what is this dirt? And like, do they bring all this other
totally
dirt
different.
In? Like,
why
is it so loose and loamy? And like, it's like, it's never watered nice. And like, there it goes. There's so much work that goes into that track. And every rubber tire that gets spun on that track changes the race surface. And it's cool. So I like it from that perspective of, it's like, it's a different challenge. You know, I know the track physically, but like, seeing how it develops and trying to predict it, it's almost, it's just as hard for me as anybody else, right? So
not only that, but running test laps is great, but that's like, you know, punching a punching bag, and then being in an actual race is like jumping into an octagon for a cage match. It's two different things.
Oh yeah, right. Like, right. Dude, I beat the crap out of that punching bag. It's like, yeah, no doubt. For sure. That's a great analogy. I might have to use that one this weekend.
You'll keep punching if it's there, right?
Right. Yeah.
Use what you can.
Swung back. Right.
As long as you don't become the punching bag, everything's right. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Well, hey, man, we really appreciate you taking time. Obviously, this is the busiest week of the entire race season, the entire year for you guys. So we appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you in Pro Stock, Pro Turbo, and in Pro 4.
Yeah, I'm excited. I appreciate you guys having me on here, and that was good talking with you, and we'll definitely see you this weekend.
Well, that's just about all from us. Brent, I was looking at the weather for this weekend at ERX for rounds 5 and 6. As always, it's going to be hot, just like it always seems to be over there in Elk River, Minnesota. High 80s Friday and Saturday during the race day. Rain, very small possibility, extremely unlikely. It's going to be a beautiful weekend for racing.
Yeah, I'm excited. And hey, you're right. It's been hot every year that we get there. But ERX Motor Park never disappoints. And you're going to see some hot action on the track. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, you'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge, if you want to use a cheesy phrase there. Of course, we'd love to have you there at ERX Motor Park with us for the ERX Off-Road National. But if you can't make it, we will be live on Flow Racing on the website, or, of course, on the app on your mobile device. 10 a.m. Central Time, Friday. Remember, it's Friday and Saturday race, so Friday, July 14th. If you're hearing this on Thursday, July 13th, that means tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central. And then again, 10 a.m. on Saturday, opening ceremonies. It's going to be great.
Yes, Shane, I cannot wait to get to the weekend. It's going to be one heck of a show. For Shane Stastny, I'm Brent Smith. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.